Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Yes, everyone, Lou Princess Aziz is at a family reunion, won't be able to join us this afternoon, but we know that soon as she's back, then inshallah, she will be sharing with us about the brain function, the executive function of the brain. We were going to share something from the Quran in reference to our mental health. And inshallah, if you have any comments you'd like to share, by all means, do so. Open with a question or what's on your mind in reference to our dilemmas as we are struggling to understand to the degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us to understand our mind and the depth of our thinking and the interaction with thoughts and how we speak with self and then how our actions can be to the point that they become very detrimental to ourselves and to others because of the lack of ability to think things through. In the functioning process of our mind, of our brain, rather. So inshallah, if you have any questions, we can place those questions out there and you can share them with Lou Princess Aziz. I'm sure she will be listening in, inshallah, when she gets a moment to do so. And she can go back over whatever we discussed. But we're going to be sharing, too, a presentation from Imam Murtadi Muhammad, rahimahullah. And then that will allow us to merge right into the commentary of Imam, the sharing of Imam's commentary from the Ramadan session with Imam Kareem Hamid and Hassan Abdul Salam. In the first hour, and then Michael Hameen will join them in the second hour. All right? So as we seek refuge with Almighty God from the Shaitan, the rejected, he's the enemy. It's the enemy. I won't say he. All of mankind, all of our minds, all of our ways of living, as we seek refuge with Allah from that, and then with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer, we openly acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one God and that there are no partners with the one God. Greetings of peace to everyone. Again, opening the session with you with any questions you may have. And we will share with from the Quran on, there it says 12 mental health tips from the Quran and Sunnah. But let's see from you first, okay? Let me look here. If you have any questions, press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic if you want to put any questions on the table. Otherwise, I'm going to be sharing this information here. And this is going to be coming from studioarabia.com. There are several offerings here. Hold on 1 second here. Okay, so I'll read this part first. So this is on the brain function, the executive function deficit, as we are looking at pictures showing an image of a person, physical person, and then it shows the brain and all of the function capabilities that goes on in the brain. And it says the executive brain, executive function deficit is a difficulty with a set of mental skills. Difficulty with a set of mental skills that make sure things get done. Now, people with executive function deficit may have trouble with planning, starting or finishing tasks, focusing or paying attention. The executive function deficit is often associated with, and you know the acronyms, ADHD. Some examples of executive dysfunction include being very distractible, focusing too much on one thing, daydreaming, or trouble visualizing a goal. And, of course, as I said, that they have it aligned with ADHD. One moment here. And I want to go to the Quran. I was reading on something last evening, but I'll go to the Quran on the mental part. I know we all can refer to something, some points and times in our life where we've been distant in our thinking and not knowing. I never attributed to, identify it rather as executive functioning, but I can see how, you know, that's where we execute everything, right, in a certain area of our mind. So the Quran has many verses that address mental health, including depression and anxiety, and offer mental well-being tips that we can apply in our daily lives. And here are some examples of Quranic verses about mental health. And it starts off saying, and as I'm reading this, a person who's already having disturbances going on in their brain or mind or can't think, but here's what it suggests. It says, faith in Allah. Here's what the noise is. In Allah Almighty. Number two, Allah is the hearing and the knowing. Number three, Quran relieves depression and sorrow. Number four, Allah is the patient, P-A-T-I-E-N-T-E, P-A-T-I-E-N-T. And then mental stress is a part of human nature. So let's go to the verses. Computer is saying, go back. But it gives verses. Let's go, Allah is all-knowing. Let's see if it lets me go past that. Okay, since it won't let me do that, let's continue to read. What is executive function disorder? It is a broad group of mental skills that enable people to complete tasks and interact with others. Disordered executive function can impair a person's ability to organize. If you are experiencing dysfunction or function disorder, executive function disorder, let's see, it skipped here. The symptoms of executive function disorder, it is advisable to consult a medical professional. Depending on the cause of the dysfunction, it may be treatable, and of course they say with medications and psychotherapy. But it says the symptoms of executive function disorder can vary depending on the underlying cause. However, some common symptoms include, again, we all plan something. So that having a difficulty with planning means that we're not focused, we're able to focus, and then it causes us to have disorder, or we concentrate on one thing too much, which causes, you know, says that we're daydreaming, but we're stymied in our progress. Hold on a moment while I try again to get to this Quranic verse. It says mental health in Al-Islam. The Quran verses to help. It is really important to talk about and raise awareness about mental health and mental distress, which is a natural human condition, and nobody is immune from it. In Al-Islam, Quranic verses and the prophetic teachings indicate that everyone experiences some kind of mental distress in Quran recital. Okay. It says we all suffer some kind of struggle, mental struggle. Surah 70, Ayat 19. And Surah 70, Surah 70 is Ma'rij. And it has been termed as the wave of ascent, Mu'arij, wave of ascent. And it says the 19th verse. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan. With Allah's name, the merciful, benefactor, merciful, redeemer. The English rendering says, truly man was created very impatient. very impatient, which leads us to anxiety. And I've stepped away from the Sadaq Allahu Azim. Very impatient or very anxious, which leads us to a nervous condition. And then Surah 2, Ayat 155, that's Surah Baqarah, and it says in English, and we, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, and we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives, loss of wealth and lives and fruit. But give good tidings to the patient, P-A-T-I-E-N-T, the one who's patient. Those are two, I recognize, the conditions that we find ourselves in, and then it lends itself over to mental stress. And that is where we're going now. Mental distress is part of human nature. It's not a failure of it. Mental health and mental distress are part of human nature rather than being a failure of it. Whether you are in a state of comfort and ease or hardship and stress, it's how you respond to it with patience or gratitude that will determine how much contentment you feel. Let's repeat that. Whether you are in a state of comfort and ease or hardship and stress, is how you respond to it with patience or gratitude that will determine how much contentment you feel. Contentment is felt in the heart and is a sense of peace and acceptance. And what the Quran and Hadith provide is a lesson that contentment is a feeling of peacefulness no matter what is going on around you. Now, grief is a part of Sunnah, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grief. And if you look at the period that is called the Year of Sorrow, in which his wife, Lady Khadija radiallahu anha, and his uncle, Abu Talib radiallahu anhu, who gave so much support, they passed away shortly after one another. This period has been called, the Year of Sorrow, based on the feelings that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had and the loss he felt. And ponder over that for a moment, thinking on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they reference Ayatul Kursi, confirming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is over all and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything and that there's nothing that can enter Allah's presence, or we can't even think of anything that can happen subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that it exists. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can turn to Allah in the sense of call to mind, if we can, at those moments and before, putting it into practice. But I understand when we, Martha and I are speaking now, when we're in the moment of distress or when we have the anxiety already going on, it is difficult to stop in the tracks and say, oh, well, let me, something else has to happen. And sometimes it is, I'm sure you've heard of nervous breakdown. And I call it a point in time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives our brain a rest. I remember when a young girl, 16 years old, went through that phase. And it was like she was so anxious and so, I don't know, scared or fearful of what life had for her at 16, that she just went into a shutdown. And she expressed to me later, when she was in her late 20s, she shared with me that, and this was after she had married and had her child, that it brought about such a relief that the marriage and having the child. And she said that she felt, even though we saw her from the outside looking at her, that she was in a shutdown mode. She said, but what she remembered was what she had been taught, reading the Quran, being told about the life of the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, because she was raised in the masjid. And I'm sure this will work also with others who have been raised in a faith-geared home or a faith-engineered home. And I'm saying truly faith. But for those who haven't aligned, those of us who haven't aligned ourselves with that process and find ourselves seeking aid, whether it's in the form of medicines or going to therapists or whatever the case may be, I'm surmising that there comes a point in time where we truly have to face ourselves, questions of ourselves, if we get to one of those calming moments where we can really think things through after the medicine calms us down and we think things through. Are we able to? Only we can answer that. Are we able to think things through? And do we find ourselves relying on the medicine's relaxation and then fearful still of those kind of moments reoccurring? We're going to take a pause here, everyone. As I stated, it's halfway to mark now. Just wanted to bring those things out if that helped us in any kind of a way. Just me talking it out helps me. But we're going to take a pause, and when we return, if you have any questions or comments, like I say, we can table those until Lou Princess Aziz returns, inshallah. And, of course, press 1 on your phone in order to do that, to have your question heard on air, okay? And 1 moment. We'll be right back, dear listeners. Thank you. You're right here on Keeping It Real. Talk about it. After this will be Contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimallahu Lay.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explained its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Mikhail Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give the body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Sewer Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum again, everyone. If you're just joining us, I'm Martha Naila Abdullah, and I'm standing in for, if you can say that, for Lou Princess Aziz, but she is the one that airs this presentation hour, keeping it real. Let's talk about it. And she's been sharing about the executive function of the brain. And what we wanted to do is continue in that line, but share something from the Quran as we have. Going again to Studio Arabia Institute. And this was shared as of Saturday, October 10th, 2020. According to recent research conducted by leading mental health organizations, one in four people will experience mental health issues during their lifetime. At the end of 2019, it was estimated that one in 12 people suffer from depression, while a total of 450 million people, including children, were battling some alternatives. Now, these numbers were based only on cases which had been reported, suggesting that the health, reality of mental health issues is much larger. Needless to say, during the COVID-19 pandemic, that it has most certainly made the situation worse. Now, remember, as we read about being patient, being grateful, and learning how to apply that, because says that from the ayah of Surah 70, verse 19, indicating, and again we read, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Truly, man was created very impatient. In the Arabia, it says, "Inna al-insana khuliqa halu'a." Now, I'm not. I know a khuliqa is not the past tense, it is ongoing in the khuliqa. So that means that the impatience is part of our life. And that was referenced by Studio Arabia Institute earlier. And this is from the Quran, Surah 2, 155. And we surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but give good tidings to the patient. Surah 2, Baqarah, that's 152. That's 2, Surah 2, 155. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm reading, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear in the Quran that our worldly life will be filled with tests. Every single one of us will be tested in one way or another, including with our own emotions. And one such emotion mentioned in the ayah above, khawfa, which carries the meaning of fear, or that we dread things that will happen, or we worry, or we get overtly concerned. Sadness, anxiety, worry are emotions that we all experience to a certain degree in our lives. Even the prophets, prayers and peace be upon all of them, went through these emotions, and there is much to learn from their stories, which we find in the Quran. For example, Prophet Yaqub, peace be upon him, for instance, he was so distressed at the news of losing his son Yusuf, peace be upon him, that he cried to the point of becoming blind. Prophet Zachariah, peace be upon him, was very worried about not having any child at an old age and turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in supplication. Maryam, radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, was going through the pains of childbirth when she expressed her fears and said, hold on one moment. When she expressed her fears and said, the interpretation of what we can read here is, it says, I can't read it here. It says, Ya laytani. Okay, let's go. The interpretation, which is, oh, I wish I had died before this and was in oblivion, forgotten. That was what that was, the Arabic interpretation. It says, even, sadaqallahu adeem, even Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him, experienced a lot of deep sadness and great worry in his life, culminating with the year of sorrow, during which he, peace be upon him, successfully lost his beloved wife, Lady Khadija, and his uncle, Abu Talib. When I say successively, that means they were one after the other. So by mentioning these stories and many others of despair and distress in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges those difficult emotions that we human beings go through. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also reassures us and gives us the keys that we need to overcome them. So number two, it says, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is Allah, and remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is Allah, is with you. In Arabiya, says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اِدْعُوا لِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord says, call upon me, I will respond to you. That's Surah 40, Ayat 60. Again, and your Lord says, call upon me, I will respond to you. Surah Ghafir, that's the 40th Surah, Ayat 60. With this beautiful, powerful ayat, usually translated as verse in English, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a promise to the believer. If we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond, guaranteed, no doubt about it. In his commentary about this ayat, Ibn Kathir recorded that Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the great Islamic scholars, jurist, and hadith compiler, used to say, quote, "O you who love most those who ask of you, and O you who hate most those who do not ask of you, and there is no one like that apart from you, O Lord." So that was referencing, speaking about Almighty God being the one that wants us to ask of Allah's help. Continuing to read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't going to check the board. I apologize here. Anyone, press 1 if you have any comments you'd like to share. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed the responsive, the supreme answerer, the acceptor of invocation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here for us to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, in times of happiness, in gratitude, and in times of struggle, in need. Making dua, supplication, is therefore a powerful tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the believer engaging in dhikr, or remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by starting everything we do. One moment. By starting everything we do with Bismillah, with Allah's name, and saying Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, Subhanallah, glorified is Allah, La ilaha illallah, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Often, this is a great way to remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here with us. Truly, it is in the remembrance of Allah that hearts peace. Surah Al-Ra'd, the 13th surah, ayat 28. Let's check the board. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to press 1 on your phone and we'll open your mic. I'm going to share words from Imam Warsuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah. And as I started going on, I was feeling the relaxation myself and the peace that comes with reading Quran, hearing the word, and striving to put ourselves in that place where there is no fear. If it enters our heart, enters the heart of our mind, if it enters in any form, whether we're in doubt, inching into fear, whether we're nervous about something because it's the unknown, and isn't that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has us, in the unknown? So our executive function gets interfered with when we're in doubt, when we're wondering what the unknown is going to be. Many times it's whether I'm going to get fired because I didn't call in and I missed the day's work, or my car broke down and I couldn't make it to wherever I was going, an appointment on time, or I meant to get some medicine even, or I needed to get paint for the painters on tomorrow, or there was some food item that I should have picked up before the store closed. Whatever the case may be, and these are everyday living situations, or I just don't have the money to pay my rent. I don't have the money to pay my mortgage. I don't have the money to pay my insurance, or I don't have life insurance. I don't have my last will written out yet. Worry, 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 worry. It's like a swing going back and forth. Worry, worry. So we can't stop these thoughts from coming if it's part of our lives. But what is recommended is that, you know, Allah is in charge. And some things we don't intentionally forget, but when it happens and we did forget, forgive ourselves. Humble ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beg for Allah's guidance, protection, and that we may remember, or that someone may be in our presence to help us to remember. But show our gratitude, our thankfulness for everything, everything. Thanks, Almighty God, for the sunshine as it's beaming hot down upon us. I was trying to think of how I can preserve it. I was like, this heat is not supposed to be wasted like this. And then the rain, even though, and the thunder and lightning, even though a young lady, 83, I think she's 83 or 73, got struck by the lightning right in front of her condo, returning right forth, right at the doors, the opening doors, they found her. And to those, you know, in where there's any difficulty, and right here in Jacksonville, it is said that those who were killed in Jacksonville, Florida, a dear friend of mine, her son, the services was yesterday, Saturday, yes. A lot is going on in our lives, and surely we reach a point of, if 100 degrees was the measure of our thinking before we get stressed out, I mean, 100 degrees reference to stress, a lot of times we're at 50, right? And then we find ourselves going to 60, 70. Prayerfully, we don't get to that 100 before calling on Almighty God, just remembering God and really, truly taking a moment, taking a deep breath, and referencing that we felt, if we felt love any kind of a way, then we can understand when it says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, especially when we call upon Almighty God and really mean it. All right. So thankful for you being here. I'm thankful for this opportunity as well. Truly the remembrance of Allah. Care of your body, number 3. Narrated, Abdullah bin Amir bin Al-As. Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, O Abdullah, have I not been formed, F-O-R-M-E-D, that, or have I not been informed, well, formed, that you fast all the day and stand in prayer all night? Well, I'm sure they meant to write informed. I said, yes, O Allah's messenger, alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not do that. Observe the fast sometimes and also leave them the fast at other times. Stand up for the prayer at night and also sleep at night. Your body has a right over you. Your eyes have a right over you. And your wife has a right over you. Sahih al-Bukhari 5199. Our body is a trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us for a short, limited time in this worldly life. It is part of the many great blessings and favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, and it is our obligation to take care of it properly, not only to try and maintain good health in this life, but also, and most importantly, to make sure that we will be able to confidently answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment when asked about how we took care of the body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Additionally, recent research has shown that the way we take care of our body has a direct impact on our mental health. Eating healthily, in parentheses, more on that later, close parentheses, exercising, practicing breathing techniques, being outdoors, having balanced habits, sleeping enough, etc., all have been shown to have a really positive impact on depression, anxiety, ADHD, and even pessimism. This is not, and we know pessimism is when no matter how much positive talk is around us, we see the dark side of it. This is not about preparing for the next marathon or following the latest trendy diet. Rather, the idea is to understand that we function as a holistic being. Our physical health has an impact on our mental health and vice versa. Number four, take care of our spirituality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is from the Quran. I apologize. This is a hadith, Sahih al-Bani, Ahmad, number one of 391. O Allah, I am your slave and the son of your male slave and the son of your female slave. My forehead is in your hand, i.e., control over everything, over me. Your judgment upon me is assured, and your decree concerning me is just. I ask you by every name that you have named yourself with, revealed in your book, taught any one of your creation, or kept unto yourself in the knowledge of the unseen that is with you, to make the Quran the spring of my heart and the light of my chest, the banisher of my sadness and the reliever of my distress. Again, that was Sahih al-Bani, Ahmed. Spirituality is an important aspect of mental health. What we mean by spirituality here is not the mere fulfillment of our religious obligations. And I'm looking at the time now. We're right at 5 p.m. I'm going to have to stop right there, everyone, and relinquish this host seat. Thank you so very much. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. Assalamu alaikum. We're getting ready for contemplation of Imam Warthadeen Muhammad Rahim Allahulay.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Warthadeen Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Warthadeen Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Nasta'inuhu, nastaghfiruhu, wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jalla. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. and I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. Alhamdulillah, all the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. We ask him for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Alhamdulillah, all the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. We welcome you to the airwaves of American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference, and this is the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahidudin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. The presenter this evening is our beloved sister, Mahasan Abdul Salam, and she shall share with us from the Ramadan session that was presented in March the 12th, 1993, in Little Rock, Arkansas. Mahasan, if you are with us, press 1 on your phone, and I will open up your mic, and you can begin presentation, inshallah. And we have another host, Michael Hamming. He is engaged in another meeting at this time, so he regretfully stated that he will not be present for the first hour of this broadcast, but he will be present in the second hour of the broadcast, the contemplations of Imam Wahidudin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. I don't see Mahasan on the studio board. If you are with us, Mahasan, press 1 on your phone, and I will unmute your mic. Okay. She is not with us presently, but I'm quite sure she will be with us a little later, inshallah. Inshallah. So I shall present the contemplations and the thinking and the logic of our beloved Imam Wahidudin Muhammad. I am Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360. And I strongly encourage that you share with us, share your comments, the questions, and your statements during this broadcast. Just press 1 on your phone, and I will open up your mic, and we so look forward to hearing your valuable commentary. Praise be to Allah. Let me begin with a reading from the Quran, the 103rd surah, entitled Asr, or Time Through the Ages. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صدق الله العظيم. Surely Almighty God has spoken the truth. And the commentary associated with this surah from out of the Yusuf Ali commentary on the Quran, he has shared with us this commentary concerning this chapter or this surah of Quran entitled Asr, or Time Through the Ages. With Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful Redeemer, by the token of time through the ages, verily man is in loss, except such as have faith and do righteous deeds and join in the mutual teaching of truth and of patience and constancy. May Allah bless the translation and the commentary. Praise be to Allah. I share this surah with us to encourage us to share with each other in the mutual teaching of truth. That's why we strongly encourage that you join us in every presentation given on the airways of American Muslim 360. Allah has said in the mutual teaching of truth, no one of us know it all. In the mutual teaching of truth, and may we have patience and constancy with one another. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So I want to begin this reading. It is from the Ramadan session 1993, March the 12th, 1993, given in Little Rock, Arkansas. Alhamdulillah. And last week, we concluded a broadcast on page 103. I am sharing the contents of the Ramadan session, volume one, which spans from 1983 to 1992 to 1993 and 1995. And 1991, praise be to Allah. So I am sharing with you the Ramadan session from our March 12, 1993, held in Little Rock, Arkansas. And the reading begins, I shall try to begin where we left off at last week, inshallah. Okay, praise be to Allah. It begins with the subject matter, Ramadan, the reading in Quran. Ramadan, reading in Quran. And the Imam's statement concerning this subject matter is this. In Ramadan, the whole day should be spent either in work or devotion to Quran. If we're not doing work, like in the community or something, we should be fasting and devoting ourselves to the Quran. So I don't mind. I could stay here to the night and break the fast, but I know it wouldn't be the best for us. We lack the means of communicating the best of what's happening in our community. We need to communicate that to everybody. What happens that's good in your immediate environment? Look at how it affects us here. If we can share with the whole community, all of us. So if we could share all these things, it would do wonders for our spirit and make us more productive, make us happier with each other, and make us more productive. And we don't want a Savior's Day every year. But I think we should have a big occasion that amounts to like a celebration. And it shouldn't be on me all the time. We have one coming up that's on me. That's going to be good. But we should have one every year. And not only the imams, also the progress in the community. We should celebrate our progress. Because you have been doing a lot. We have been recognizing, paying tribute to pioneers, to students, but now we can include institutions, projects, business developments, and efforts by intellectuals or bright-minded people. Anything that sends a message to us or brings a message to us of our efforts, growth, progress, that's what we want to hear. And make available too. And not only that, also jihad. We are in jihad. Some developments we feel are threatening the society, the Muslims, or threatening us. Let's mention that here's a problem that we have to address. I want to pause right here and make a few statements concerning what the imam is suggesting here. I remember we had a large national gathering, and its heading was, I believe, the year of Jubilee. And the imam attached that to, from out of the Old Testament, the Jews would hold a large gathering and it was called the Jubilee, and they would share the progress that they were making as a people and as a community. You know, we hear the word jubilant. Yes, he was very jubilant. That comes from the word jubilee. Jubilee is to celebrate, to share the progress that has been made, the progress that is being made, and our plans for the future. That truly enhances our spirit and the productive energies in us all. I stop right there. Okay, returning back to the reading. I hope that we can act on, this is my statement, that we can act on appointing a period of jubilee whereby nationally we all meet in one area, one place, and share with each other the wonderful work, the wonderful victories that we are experiencing in establishing the Islamic life. That, as the Imam said, that will go a long way in improving our spirit and also moving us toward greater productive life. Praise be to Allah. There is much good going on in the Ummah, in the Ummah period, and especially in this association. And we want to make those accomplishments known. That's why our beloved sister Martha Nyla has this broadcast, Have You Heard? Have You Heard? And that is where she shared with us information from locales as to what they are doing in their prospective locales and upcoming events. Praise be to Almighty God. It is held every Friday evening here on American Muslim 360, beginning at Community Developmental Stages, which is aired at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we invite you to please call in and share with us the wonderful work that are being done in the location and the community in which you live. Praise be to Allah. So, all right, I'm going to move to the next subject that the Imam is sharing with us. Planning our own climate and future. If the spirit is like wind and the appetite is like the sun, the potential is like the earth, and the spirituality is like the water, then if we work on all these things, we can control our climate, our future. We don't just plan for life on this earth. We can plan the circumstances. That's what I'm saying. We should be planning the circumstances for our life on this earth, because if we don't, Satan will have those circumstances like he's got. And I'm not talking about the white man either. I'm talking about the real Satan. The white man is just a tool and a vehicle too, a vessel for Satan. The next, yes, praise be to Allah. So the Imam sharing that, saying we can plan our own climate, is connecting with what he suggested in the earlier reading, that we should share with the community the wonderful work that is being done. Share with each other the progress being made. That creates a positive climate. That creates a positive climate and a positive outlook for our future once we know these things. Praise be to Allah. So I'm grateful that he shared with us planning our climate and our future. He addresses another subject matter. We're going to have some way to enforce authority. I think this local, state, regional shura at the top will be a few of you you will be meeting in consultation with me on some kind of regular basis. Bet sure about it. It's going to be an authoritative body, and we should be informed of what's happening throughout the community. I won't speak directly myself. You will be in consultation with me, and I will make contributions to your statement that you give. The statement will come from you all for the community. At that statement, I think, is going to have power, going to be seen as an authority. It's going to put more pressure on all the schools, all of what's happening in the whole community. It's going to put pressure on them. Shura is going to solve all these problems. Once everything is made clear and you're comfortable with the apparatus for keeping the light on and the right order in our community, then you're going to have execution for authority. We're going to have some way to enforce authority. This is Islam. We are not going to be men until we get there. I don't mean we're going to beat up anybody, but you have to demand compliance for what is right for the whole. We just can't sacrifice our future forever waiting on people to respect what we want. So they have to respect it or be pushed out of it or punished if they insist upon staying in it and making trouble for people. I'm not talking about taking the law into our own hands. It's always to punish people within the law without even going to court. The Imam shares the ayah from the Quran, and he fails who neglects it. End of ayah. So this Dasaha doesn't necessarily have to be translated as corrupted, but it's accepted. It's correct. But to get the real full meaning of the Dasaha, look at the meaning of Zakaha. And this is just the opposite. By spending on one and preserving and keeping it from impurities, you get it. By ignoring the need to spend on it, ignoring the protection of it from corruption, and preserve its purification, you will lose it. Let me read this again. By ignoring the need to spend on it, speaking of our soul, by ignoring the need to spend on it, ignoring the protection of it from corruption and preserve its purification, you will lose it. Zakah, just listen to the word. It's going down in your stomach. Just say it with me. Up, down. Das seems to be up, but it also is at the same time down. Dasa, down. Dasaha, a literal attempt to go up twice down. The first attempt is to go up. The other two down. Actually, all of them are down, but the first one seems to attempt to come up and going down at the same time. Dasaha, ha is deeper down, and that's the way corruption is. Let me stop and make some brief commentary on, and he who fails to neglect it from the Quran that the Imam is referring to in the Quran, the corruption of the soul, those who neglect it, those who neglect it come to bad consequences by ignoring to spend on your soul and ignoring to protect it from corruption and preserve its purification. If we don't do that, we will lose it. Let me speak of a higher reading of the soul. We are representative of a soul that has come to life in the Ummah. We are representative of a soul that has come to life in the Ummah. And that soul has to be protected. It has to be preserved. And it has to stay in a form of purification. If we do not see the necessity of protecting what is coming from out of us, what is coming from out of all of us, and keep it in its pure state, then corruption and neglect and deception will enter the association and enter the Ummah. We are to protect the Ummah we are to protect our own soul. Praise be to Allah. So Allah says, when you see a wrong, correct it with your hand. If you see a wrong, you can't do that. Speak out against it. If you can't do that, at least feel bad about it in your heart. But let me share with you Imam Muhammad's understanding on that command. He has stated that the hating it in the heart must come first. You must hate corruption, deception, deceit, wrongdoing. You have to hate that in your heart, for all matters spring from our heart. The heart is the seat of intention. So you have to first hate corruption, hate deceit, hate lying. You have to, and once you detect that, then you should take action to get rid of the corruption, the deceit, the jealousy, the envy, all of those things that threaten the soul of any community. And if you can't remove it with your hand, then praise be to Allah. Allah has given us two lips and a voice box and have blessed us with intelligent speech. We should speak out against it strongly. Stand out boldly for justice. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. That's my commentary on the Imam sharing with us the protection of the soul. Okay. If there's any of you that would like to share, I ask that you press 1 on your phone. I will open up your mic, inshallah. We are sharing with you the Ramadan session from 1993, March the 12th, 1993, from Little Rock, Arkansas. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah, we shall pause now for important public service announcement. I ask, we have someone who's raised their hand. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum. Is this Martha Naila Abdullah?
This is Martha Naila Abdullah from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida, the whole state of Florida, Sunshine City, Sunshine State. But yes, Imam, greetings of peace to you and to all the listeners. When you mentioned about the Jubilee, I remember it was not in Atlanta, I believe, the spiritual Jubilee, as what I recall. But nonetheless, you know, everyone likes to know that something is happening. I mean, even with our own selves, you know, that we're making headway in some direction wherever we plan, and we see it coming into fruition. And likewise with us as a community. And I know that, you know, as everything is happening, we're going to get there. We're going to connect. And see through quadrants or what have you and really get the benefit and feel and taste what is happening throughout the country, inshallah. I'm believing that and putting forth every effort that I can to get to know those who are doing and with respect to the leadership of Imam Warsi Muhammad Rahim Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Martha. Alhamdulillah. For those of you that may have tuned in to Study Al-Islam this morning, facilitated by our beloved sister Fikra Muhammad, praise be to Allah, she had a wonderful guest on. The subject matter was faith over fear. Faith over fear. And there was a young Muslim. I call him young because I'm grateful to Allah, I'm up in age. But there was a young Muslim on. And Brother Mark was his name. And he shared with us an effort and an organization that him and others have established in the city of Detroit. And that association is called the Dream, praise be to Allah, the Dream Foundation. And that Dream is an acronym for Detroit Revival, Engaging American Muslims. He shared with us those that are working with him. They are revitalizing neighborhoods. They are refurbishing housing. They are plan to open up an entrepreneurial strip mall. They are reviving the neighborhood that they have chosen to work in, to revive it. And hearing that good news, I don't know about everyone else, but it truly made me feel good and upbeat. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. When we hear Father Imam Muhammad, he asked of Imam Ezekiel of Pasha, and likewise us, don't let Detroit fall. Don't let Detroit fall. For as we all know, Detroit is the geography of the beginning of our introduction to El-Islam. It was the home of Temple Number One, which is now Wali Muhammad Masjid. Praise be to Allah. So it's wonderful to hear that there is great progress being made in the founding city of Detroit. Groups of Muslims, and I mean people of certain expertise, engineers, teachers, real estate agents, lawyers, praise be to Allah, have joined in that effort. So it is good to hear that, praise be to Allah. And also, we know there the upcoming Detroit National Convention coming up that is hosted by our beloved Imam Ezekiel Pasha. And he is revitalizing the city of Aster and revitalizing a finishing school, a huge campus. They have established housing and businesses, a skating rink, a strip mall. So alhamdulillah, hearing that lifts my spirit, that should lift all of our spirit. For Allah has said to us, the soul is one. We are one soul. Praise be to Allah. So that truly enriched my soul. Praise be to Allah. So alhamdulillah, in connection with what the Imam is suggesting, if you have good news, call in to AM360 or IWDM or any medium that is giving, that is broadcasting, and share with them what is occurring in your locale. You know, we speak of establishing community life. I visualize it won't be in one geographical area. That community life will be dotted across this country, in every state, inshallah, every city, there will be pockets of Islamic community life across this country. So praise be to Allah. I'll stop right there. So let us protect our soul. As Allah says to us in the Quran, and he who fails to neglect it. Praise be to Allah. Okay. The next reading, wait a minute, let me share with you some important public service announcements. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah. You are listening to American Muslim 360, and this is the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. Don't touch that dial.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
And we are back. Praise be to Allah. This is the broadcast, the contemplations of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad Rahim al-Alehi, and we are sharing with you his contemplations that was shared March 12, 1993, at a Ramadan session held in Little Rock, Arkansas. I am sharing from out of Volume 1 of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. You can press 1 on your phone at any time, and let's share. Okay, the next subject matter is Jonah and the gourd plant. Jonah and the gourd plant. The Bible gives it that when the apostle Jonah found himself on the shore after being spat out by the whale, he found himself out there on the shore, and a little gourd-like plant, like a vine plant, had grown up his body to protect his head from the exposure to the sun out there on the shore. I imagine the shore was like a barren piece of land, but that little gourd could grow on it. And the Bible said that Jonah, I'm putting this in part here, when he realized his situation, he said, the journey is 3 days to get where we had to go. From that particular state, that particular situation he was in, a journey of 3 days. So before him was a journey of 3 days. And after he was spat out by the whale, 3 days to get to where he wanted to go. Actually, where did he want to go? To Nineveh, to the city. Not to praise it, but to condemn it. Actually, he wasn't supposed to be doing his thing. He was supposed to do God's thing, but he got messed up. He went in there and let his own emotions take him over. And he pleaded to God to destroy this place. And God sent him to save the place. God had to straighten him out. So God straightened him by throwing him in bad circumstances, in the well, being with the vine out there with that situation. Now, he has to get back to where he was supposed to go in the first place. So it says the journey was 3 days. I want to use that to clarify what I am saying before I get started. And I was saying what? The miracle of the Quran. The miracle of the Quran, the going down, the dasaha, the three, dasaha, three, zakaha. Dasaha drops low in the stomach. It becomes more in the stomach. When you say ha, the chest usually deflates. If you deflate your chest with each sound, you will say it better. The more you say it, the more your chest deflates. The social consciousness is dying and not expanding the breast. You see, the miracle of the Quran, when they asked the prophet, where is your miracle? He said, the Quran. It's not just beautiful reading. It's each word and its sound. And he made him, okay, it's not just the reading. It's each word and its sound. Quote from the Quran. And he made him a sounding clay. End of quote. Zakah is in the stomach. It comes out of the mouth. But Zak, Z-A-K, but Zak is in the stomach. Ka is in the chest. The chest expands to get air to push it out. Ha. From the soul to the social conscious to the language. The worst of creatures described in the Quran are described as those who want to rise up above everybody. A tyrant is described as one whose breathing frame is constricted. And the very word in Arabic that's used for it, to say that word, you have to constrict your frame. To say it best, it is no accident. The next subject matter. Trust the human being that Allah has made. We said that all of this concerns the soul, and it begins with the sun. So the progression is from the sun as the potential in the soul, and it goes on from the sun as potential in the soul to talk about this potential that first draws in the intellect as spiritual light. That's the moon. Then it talks about the day to let us know we can't stay in the night with moonlight. It lets us know that the day is where the glory is, and the night that you shouldn't have is the spiritualism, because that conceals. You need the real night, the night of trust and faith. Then it goes to, a quote from the Quran, and by the firmament and how it is structured. There's logic up there, and that's a bigger creation than this one. You should bring the kingdom down here. And then, quote from the Quran, by the earthly expanse, end of quote. Don't fear that. If you bring it down and give it, like the angels say, quote from the Quran, oh, what will we have on the earth but bloodshed? End of quote. Don't fear that there's going to be bloodshed, violence, and all of this. Trust this human being that Allah has made, his common purpose that Allah has made, and share this with them, and he'll be trustworthy. The best of the followers of Prophet Muhammad, he got them from the poor and the ignorant. Quote from the Quran, and it's your return to the poor. End of quote. It doesn't mean that he didn't have the assistance of the rich people of his standing, like Abu Bakr, but they represented a very few. What was used to build their society was the common believer that had to be taught how to read. The prophet himself couldn't write. They had to be taught how to read. The next subject matter, trust the masses of people. This is so important. Praise be to Allah. Trust the masses of people. Scribes wrote for the prophet. I know that you know he could write some. But you know, right now, you see people scribbling. They can't write. We can write some and be very intelligent. A lot of men make big business and establish themselves, and they can't even read and write, you see, just like the prophet. So it doesn't mean that he can read, that he can't read at all, but he was not an educated person. So if we saw his writing, some of his writings still exist after he became prophet. And if you look at it, it's poor writing. Have you seen some of it in the manuscripts? It's poor writing, not the best writing. So he was not an educated man. It's saying, let it happen. This is God's will. Trust the population. Trust the masses of people. There is room enough. The earth is really big. You are not going to lose anything. You will gain more. They'll have a chance, and by them being given more opportunity, you will have more riches. Although it doesn't say all that, isn't that what happens? When a democratic order is established, it gives more equal opportunities to the members of that society, especially in past times. It can happen now if these people do the right thing. In past times, what happened was they had more men to produce. So production increased greatly. As a result of that, the top percentage of the people, they became richer and more powerful. Next subject matter. We shouldn't live in the top of the mountain. Let me share with you another public service announcement before we move forward in the presentation here. Praise be to Allah. For those of you that may have any statements or any questions you would like to share, I ask that you press 1 on your phone and I will unmute your mic. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Is that okay? Let me share with you this important public service announcement. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
What is American Muslim 360, you ask? It's hard hitting.
Don't have any peace. And our people have been tricked that if you got money, which really is an artificial measure of wealth, wealth is more than just how much capital you have accumulated. Huh? We know that money is just a medium of exchange, man-made, and it can change, it has changed. Grown men, I don't carry cash. You're an idiot.
Informative.
Federal government now spends more than $500 billion a year, or roughly 14% of the federal budget, on doing business in the private scepter with contractors. In addition, contract goals are established for women-owned businesses and small disadvantaged businesses, which is another name for minority or black-owned businesses.
Your health and well-being.
I want to talk about high blood pressure one more time today. Especially in our community, high blood pressure is so prevalent. It is a silent killer, and usually there are no symptoms at all. And if we don't really take care of ourselves, it's bound to get out from under us in an unexpected moment.
Al-Quran.
So in that regard, it's also said in Quran that it is the best of time to pray, and it is during this time in your reading of Quran that it will be a witness for you. So if you can imagine that if we are reading Quran during this time, that it will be a witness for us.
So to answer your question, American Muslim 360 is well-rounded. It's all about the people. And it's all about the deen. And that's why we are the number one Islamic blog talk radio station in all of America.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Al-Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered, when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyalislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
Just 12 years old.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Afar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspirations. Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intentions and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy, keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life, because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And we are back. Praise be to Allah. You're listening to the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, and I see my co-facilitator is with us at this time. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Mahasan Abdul Salam.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear. How are you?
I'm fine. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. I feel real good now that you are accompanying me on this three-day journey.
My apologies for detaining the time that I'm joining this program. I had to finish up an assignment that I was working on that interfered with meeting the 5 o'clock Eastern time startup. So I really thank you. Thank you for being patient with me. And I was thinking, oh, they probably tried to get me and I didn't hear them. Anyway, better late than never. And praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. We plan, but Allah is always planning. Yes, yes, ma'am.
And most of the time, it's a good plan, even a better plan than we had. So I
That's
know
right.
that it was, you know, something that there was a good reason for. And so I hope that so far you have enjoyed reading where we were starting off today, and I'm happy to jump in, Brother Kareem.
Praise be to Allah. Where I ended up at, I think I read from page 106,
mm-hmm.
and I was on We Shouldn't Live in the Top of the Mountain. If you would read the paragraph that precedes that, then that introduces the subject matter of that we shouldn't live in the mountain. Trust the masses of people. If you would start there, I think that would be a smooth transition, inshallah.
That's wonderful, because that is right in the spirit, inshallah. I will do that. The spirit of what we are needing to emphasize now, especially with the additional focus that we're putting on Shura Bainahum. This is an aspect of our transformation that needs all of our attention in enlivening, because it helps us and gives us the tools to incorporate the common sense of all the people, all of the good people, right? And involve
yes, ma'am.
Them in the mutual consultation process that helps us and guarantees us arriving at solutions that are workable and logical in our lives. And we're trying to combine these two aspects of the emotional being balanced by the rational. Very critical in times like this, Imam Kareem, when there seems to be so much chaos and so much conflict in society.
You know, if I may, I began this broadcast with a reading from the Quran, Al-Asr,
mm-hmm.
and I emphasize the ayat that expresses mutual teaching of truth. So this is right in line with what you were saying. The subject matter.
So we're on the same page, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
I thank Allah for, and this is an example of how Allah can join the heart and the mind of those who are sincere, struggling for the humility and authentication that will unite us as one in an environment, in a universe that's predicated on the tawheed, the oneness of everything. So I thank Allah for that. Let me get started so we don't take up any more time. And thank you again for your patience and your welcoming. So we're going to start reading. Trust the masses of people. Now, scribes, those that inscribe or take notes, wrote for the prophet. They copied down what transpired in his sessions, educational sessions, and they would also copy down the revelation as he received it at his request. So Imam Muhammad said, scribes wrote for the prophet. I know that you know he could write some. He wasn't totally illiterate, Imam Kareem. But you know, right now, you see people scribbling, but they can't write. He can write some and be very intelligent. A lot of men make babblish themselves, and they can't even read and write. You see, just like the prophet. So it doesn't mean that he can't read at all, but he was not an educated person. So if we saw his writings, some of his writings still exist, even after he became prophet. And if you look at it, it's poor writing. Have you seen some of it in the manuscript? It's poor writing, not the best writing. So he was not an educated man. It's saying, let it happen. This is God's will. Trust the population. Trust the masses of people. There is room enough. The earth is really big enough. You're not going to lose anything. You'll gain more. They'll have a chance, and by them being given more opportunity, you will have more riches. Although it doesn't say all of that, isn't that what happens? And I'm going to insert here, Imam Kareem, we have the example, striving example of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. Didn't he, in his challenges to see that the common person could have opportunities that he was created to rise to, if given this with a sense of freedom, everyone will be enriched, even those who wanted to diminish his opportunities for advancement. Although it doesn't say all of this, yes, that is what happened. When a democratic order is established, it gives more equal opportunities to the members of that society, especially in past time. It can happen now if these people do the right thing. In past time, what happened was that they had more men to produce, so production increased greatly. And as a result of that, the top percentage of the people, they became that 1% wealthiest people. They became richer and more powerful, like we're hearing about today. That the top 1% in society have more wealth than the poverty that afflicts the bottom 90% or more. Subtitle, we shouldn't live in the top of the mountain. And remember, Imam Muhammad's definition for mountain is government or leadership. Just like the mountain is a good transcription of it. The mountain is wide in its base, but as you go up the mountain, it gets narrower and narrower. That's the way society is. Believe me, it is not going to ever change. Imam Muhammad says, they say the mountain is going to be leveled in principle. The mountain is not going to ever be leveled. The mountain is going to stay the mountain. That's the way society is. That's the nature of society. Only a few people can be at the top. The majority of people are going to be at the middle, and a great majority at the bottom. And it would be wise if you all could accept that now. The majority of people are going to be at the bottom always. That's the way it is. But we who are at the top should bring the utility down within their reach. And we're going to... Yes, dear.
Yes, praise be to Allah. You know, the Imam is not contradicting Revelation when it says the mountains shall be leveled. Mm-hmm. That is not a contradiction. That is an application of what needs to happen, that those at the top have to identify with those at the bottom, with the common man, the common needs of the common human being, the common concerns, the common interests. That, in other words, to be able to say, hey, I'm just like you. I know you're concerned, you know. Although they're at a pinnacle, they are still human beings. And if they registered that and are able to feel and know the concerns of the common man, then that brings a position of being level, of being level. I'll stop right there, my sister.
No problem. And it also reestablishes a hope and a foundation for aspirations for the common man that he matters.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it something now we see the upsurgence of community groups which identify so many different levels that matter in society in contradiction to how the leadership, the upper mountains, are categorizing them and treating them as though they don't matter. Allah says God established them so that they matter and they have a lasting importance to the advancement of the group. Thank you so much for sharing that perception. That clarity of that is very striking in terms of it being level. Now, alhamdulillah. So then we proceed. That's the way it is. But we who are at the top should bring the utility. This is the responsibility of leadership, those who have been granted elevation in their responsibilities to the whole society. Imam Muhammad says we should live. That's the way it is. But we who are at the top should bring the utility down within their reach. Then we shouldn't live in the top of the mountain and inhabit those regions consistently. Imam Muhammad says we should live on the plains. Oh, Imam Kareem, that takes me back to the memory of what just passed in the Hajj and how if you do not make it or journey to the plain of Arafat, your Hajj is not valid. It's invalidated. Unless you spend that time on the plane socializing as Allah's intent was to cause us to do, coming from hundreds and thousands and sometimes millions of miles away, encountering people you've never met before, trying to speak and interact in a manner where you get to know these people, understand and appreciate the diversity on the plain of Arafat.
Mahasan, praise be to Allah, you are so correct that Arafat is identified. It has two identifications. One is the Mount Arafat.
Yes.
Which is a mountain. And then there is another identification, praise be to Allah, the plains of Arafat.
Yes.
On Arafat, everyone can speak. Everyone
That's
is equal.
Right.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, my friend.
And I have a question for you. To make your Arafat journey meaningful, do you have to ascend on the mountain?
Well, everyone will visit Mount Arafat. But it is the mutual sharing. It is the mutual sharing of human concern that causes that it is identified as the plains of Arafat level. It is you are connected with all the people. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Because some I've spoken to, Hajis, have come back, and they've shared their excitement. In fact, one sister who used to be my assistant teacher at the Clara Muhammad School, when she went on the Hajj, she came back so excited because she was able to climb the mountainside and ascend to where she could see the cave where Prophet Muhammad received the first revelation. She was a young sister. She was so excited because that was such an accomplishment for her that she never could have dreamed of, and Allah blessed her to attain it on her first Hajj journey, right? But I've heard innumerable excitement and conversations come from those who experienced encounters while on the level plains of Arafat, meeting people they never knew before, people they had never thought they would encounter, and being able to exchange between them commonalities that they would appreciate for the rest of their lifetime. This is one of the big benefits of the Hajj. So I'll go on now. This is so stimulating. It just calls back to us certain primal memories that justify what it is, the blessings that Allah gives us and sees them as such a blessing. So then Imam Muhammad continues, and then our institutions of learning will be on the mountain. Our great sciences will be up in the mountains. But our livelihood will be down here on the plains with everybody else. Important. Islam is a beautiful symbol. It is not going to change. It says, if Allah hadn't established mountains on the earth would have given way with us. As we move and walk on the earth, Allah says the earth would have shaken and fallen away. So, if you want the earth, you'd better keep the mountains. Mountains leveled only in principle. The mountains are going to be made leveled only in principle and only as a consequence of their not accepting to abide by the principle of equality. Then they're going to need leveling. That's my addition. That God wants justice and equality. Then they will be leveled. Meaning what? All the high establishment will be brought down to the level of the common man. That's the defeat of all these kingdoms. And when the right order comes, isn't that what it does? The right order, it levels the mountain. It makes all the established societies, orders, makes them have to undo everything they did. We're seeing this in America now. Thank Allah. Undo and give up what they've done and accept to start over again, I'll say, with the common man. It means that all these governments are going to be done away with. We're actually living in this time as we speak, dear believers. All the governments, as you know them, are going to be done away with. And everything will be reduced to the level of the common man. That's what happens with enlightenment. I'm going to draw your attention just for a minute to the conflict between Russia and Help me, Imam Kareem. The name of the country.
Yes, sir. And Ukraine or the United
Ukraine.
States?
Ukraine. That's it. Yep. The Ukraine. Well, the United States is supporting them, right? But it is directly between Ukraine because they were the ones attacked by Russia unjustly, right? So we see now the war, the challenge between Russia, who has enjoyed this extreme reputation of being one of the mountains of government in the world today, even though they disintegrated as the USSR, they have evolved again, struggled to gain that prominence. And the way they seem to be interpreting is that they have the power as a major government to attack and to eliminate smaller communities. They may be smaller in size, but God gave them the right of existence and promoting the natural good lives that they seem to want to promote. So Imam Muhammad continues, all the great orders they have to accept to come down to the level of a common man. They had to give up their kingdoms, their government, and accept to start all over again. It doesn't mean that the mountains are not going to be raised up again. A new order of mountains is coming. That's why all these have to be leveled. Alhamdulillah. We are not going to ever have a situation where there is not going to be any mountain. And Imam Kareem, we have been shown this distinctly in the evolution, the God-given evolution of the African former slaves who were captured in chattel slavery and brought to the United States. Before it was the United States, to re-evolve all of their empire-building capacities and invest it in structuring the development of the United States. Those early colonizers and explorers of Africa, they recognized the advanced capacities that the African population had by way of the history of the empire building that they had caused to take place by the grace of God. And they wanted to duplicate those efforts, which they agreed they were not capable of, by bringing into subjection a people who had already achieved that excellence and had it as a part of their history. And now, while there is such a big struggle in this country to make the African American and people of color become a permanent underclass, permanently regimented to serve on the bottom of civilization. Allah has a different plan for us. We are conscious and aware and respect that and desire to follow that. Alhamdulillah, let's go on. The moon split. The moon split, Imam Muhammad says, it couldn't stay up there with the mountain coming in its place. It couldn't hold together. Just couldn't hold. The progression continues until we get to the tent. But look, we have a rest here at 7. Quote, by the soul and its proportion and order given to it, unquote. That's a rest. Then we have eight, a beginning, again, quote, and its inspiration as to its wrong and right, unquote. So there's another beginning of activity. So here is inspiration. Before it's describing what's happening in the soul or what's needed in the soul, then it comes to the eighth one and it goes from an actual description in the soul to something needed to come from outside. That's inspiration. Inspiration comes from without. Inspires the soul as to its sujuraha, its enlightenment, and its taqwaha, taqwaha, its regardfulness. Subtitle, a movement from the soul to the consciousness that God wants. That's our taqwaha. Truly he succeeds that causes it to grow, unquote, protects it from corruption and causes it to grow in purity. And he fails who does the opposite of that. Now, the ninth. Look at the ninth. And we're talking about ayats in this surah. The ninth is spending on it, purifying it. And the ninth day of the pilgrimage is Arafat. Ah, and that's an important opportunity to benefit from sources around the world that can help us grow our intellect and grow our virtue. My goodness, let me repeat that. The ninth is spending on purifying it. And the ninth day of the pilgrimage is Arafat. And that's an opportunity to benefit from sources around the world that can help us grow our intellect and our virtues. We get to interact and exchange ideas that are consistent with where we come from and the environments that we inhabit, with the prayer that they will benefit someone else across the globe. This is in the heart of Muslims. Let me finish this one sentence and then it will come right to you, okay? And also the next day is the day of spending in charity. After we get this, the next day, we sacrifice and we spend in charity. We give sadaqah. That's the 10th day. Yes, Imam Kareem, please, go ahead.
Yes, we have a caller on the line that has raised his or her hand. I want to respond to them. Air code 504-488. Welcome to the conversation of Imam Muhammad.
As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam. That's our wonderful listener and contributor, Brother Bilal. How are you doing?
Allahu Akbar. This is something I did, and I want to do this. I think it's necessary. So praise be to Allah. I got to do this. The Prophet Muhammad, never was he accusative of others. Let's be mindful and respect each other. He didn't curse. Each person should be respected. Oh, excuse me. Prophet Muhammad never was the accusative of others. Let's be mindful and respect each other. He didn't curse, and each person should be respected. It is good for humanity. On AM360, it shows. And it is tried and tested. he advised people to never underestimate the favor that they did for each other. Never divide ourselves worth the things we do because we keep God first. God consciousness, real love, forgiveness, and kindness, interfaith and race reconciliation, solving problems with mutual consultation. The prophet, may Allah be pleased with him, said, if someone curses you and make fun of your shortcomings, do not retaliate. That person is one that had weak faith. Allah will take care of him. We are Muslims. The world has some serious problems. We are not like Sally and Tim. Don't let others' actions make you act other than yourself. Keep forgetting the sex. Focus on doing for self, getting out of share, and having generational wealth. Playing a dozen isn't right. Somebody, it could cause a fight, and somebody could lose their life. It's a core seeking to understand life, helping others to live right. On the day of judgment, people face God alone. Humanity, help humanity to be strong. Sadaka will come to our rescue that day. Let's do as much as we can to increase our faith. Allah does not see the quantity of sadaka, but look towards intention. The inspiration also must be mentioned. If you give sadaka to a relative, you get more. Double the reward you get from giving it to the poor. One for sadaka, another for meeting the obligation towards the relative. When our family asks, please give and give. Hopefully, we will want it to improve the way they live. Poor might appreciate it more. That basically came from translation of what some things that the prophet said. And I had to infuse what I had to keep it kind of like in the language of today. So alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
So beautiful. So beautiful. And a resonating example of just what we have read. Actually, Allah blessing you with the spontaneity and the inspiration to construct a poem or a statement, because I see this as a book you will publish right away. This has to be left in the annals of history, inshallah, with your name on it as representation of the common person, the normal person. And I love it when you come on, call in, as a result of something you've been inspired to share. We will never tire of you coming forward and sharing these ideas, these concepts, these motivations with us on a level.
Praise your Lord.
Yes. Yes. This is beautiful. Thank you, Brother Bilal. We love you much. We do. Alhamdulillah. Enriching us. Okay. I'm going to finish the last paragraph of this subtitle. And Imam Kareem, is it time for a break again? Or whatever you think is feasible as our primary engineer. But we'll be ready for it before we continue into the last half hour or so of our program. Inshallah, we'll continue. And let me know if anybody else raises their hand, okay?
I sure will.
This
paragraph here, then we shall break for a public service announcement, if we would, please.
Excellent. Excellent, dear. Thank you. So Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, continues. But if you don't do that on the 10th day, you don't send in sacrifice, charity, or sadaqah, if you fail to spend in charity and fail to make sacrifices for the needs of others, then you corrupt it. And that's what brings the corruption, isn't it?
We've just heard Brother Bilal explain this in no uncertain terms to us. Allah connecting him as a reasonable interpreter in our understanding. Imam Muhammad then says, he answers, the greedy people failing to share and failing to keep up the virtues of the society. They see they can make more profit on the vices of society. Look what is happening with the way that these special cigarettes are being marketed to children now and causing them ill health and death. In many cases, vaporing. Terrible. That's a vice if I ever saw one. So they fail to spend on the growth of the intellect, the growth of the virtue. And they give the people vices and withhold the knowledge that they need for themselves to stand themselves up in society. Education is waning. The important significance of education nowadays is being lost. Character development is not being emphasized in the school or in churches anymore.
Mahatma clarified that the statements that you are making now is not from our the book, Praise Be to Allah.
Yeah, I will, and thank you for that reminder, Brother Kareem, but I'm also understanding that our listeners are very sensitive to the connection between Imam Muhammad's teaching and that which surfaces in our own mind and sees a likeness. And while I do not want to detract, because we promised at the inception of this program that these would be the exact words, no contribution by anyone outside of Imam Muhammad of his guidance and insight, tafsir, and commentary that he gave, it does stimulate, which is not unusual, progressive thinking on the part of the listeners, and in this case, the reader. So, yes, I will try to make a separation, but it reminds me of the saying, we're on the same page. We have no resistance to what Imam Muhammad has brought us. We want to see it into existence and operational fortitude. So I will continue Imam Muhammad's words. So, he said, those 10 previous ayahs he talked about are very important. Actually, it's a movement from the soul to the consciousness that God wants for us. A movement in the soul to the consciousness that God wants in us. Alhamdulillah. And that consciousness is not the moral consciousness. It's a consciousness that is established upon the working of the two principles in the soul. The principle for a virtuous life and the principle for an informed or enlightened life. The fujur and the taqwa. We will continue when we return from our station.
Yeah.
Hijab and Timar. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, we shall pause now for some important public service announcements. If any of you have anything you would like to share, press 1 on your phone, and I will unmute your mic. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit CWSC.us because together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preeta Hadi, host of Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
And we are back, Mahasan.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Almost uncanny, your selections for station break. Because these two station break promotions that you just played relate directly to the previous reader. We were reading of Imam Muhammad's tafsir that we were talking about. The youth. And saying and talking about her aspiration for leadership, her aspiration to continue the fight and the cause of our evolution. Even as a child, she can see this and she desires it for herself. She's coming into a consciousness of her womanhood, her capacity and created role as a womb of mind. And she talks about her excitement in coming into this in an active role of independent thinking. Many times today in this society, we don't associate women with independent thinking. In the course of this, we get decisions made like what was recently made in the Supreme Court, that women cannot be trusted with making choices about their own bodies. This is deep. It's a serious consideration and an opportunity for us to contend with evident and obvious falsehood. So that PSA was wonderful, and then it was followed by our beautiful sister, Dupreeta Hadi, in her learning lab of focus in Al-Islam. These are the underlying principles that we embrace when we commit our lives to Al-Islam, when we take Shahada and say that we believe in Allah, only one God, that Allah is the only one worthy of worship, and that he left the model with us of Prophet Muhammad. Yes. And that his model is the model that we should emulate. We should study it. We should understand it. And we should take it into practice in our everyday life. So, Brother Kareem, that there's a beautiful thing happening when you bring that those PSAs on, those promotional and marketing.
I think that is a set purpose. I do that consciously, that the PSA connects with what we are presenting. Yep. I consciously do that. Consciously. And praise be to Almighty God, Allah. We thank Allah.
Alhamdulillah. And for me, being a mother and a former teacher, that's an example of the nature-based genius. part of what Allah has given as an attribute to the Adamic people, but specifically to us as we underwent the hardship of chattel slavery. This is the reparations that we were living for. And we received it, are receiving it, and may we constantly strive to really earn it and be justified to walk in that evolution. And all of our children that come, our progeny that comes after us, we pray this same option and blessing for them. We need them to carry. Allahu Akbar. So we'll go now quickly into hijab and qimar. The beginning of questions and answers brief that Imam was presented to Imam Muhammad. The question is, when you were talking about the covering, how does hijab play into that? Imam W.D. Muhammad answered, hijab is protection for women. But hijab is really like a partition or a wall in the home of women to keep the company or the visitors, the ones who come to the door, the women from being exposed in their private room, private quarters, from being exposed to the view of the company. There was a partition put up. Down south, they did the same thing, even up north. If you couldn't afford to put up a partition, that is, have a carpenter put up a partition, you wanted another room. So what they would do is they would find some way to run a cloth from one part of the room to another, all the way over to the wall. Sometimes we can remember this in our childhood memories of our houses. Imam Muhammad says, continue, sometimes they would just attach it to a piece of furniture or something. Then that part was blocked off and you couldn't see. You couldn't see beyond that. They had privacy behind that cloth partition. That is the hijab. Now, the covering outside for a woman that the Allah says in Quran, quote, throw over your bosom, unquote. What is the term in Arabic? It is qimar. It's not hijab. So it's not the same thing. So where did they get this hijab confused? You wear outside. It just shows you that they're crazier than hell. That's what Imam Muhammad said. He said, excuse my language. The hijab is partitioning the house to protect your private quarters from your visitors so they won't be looking at your wife. They have to have privacy, the women. We don't have any two- or three-story houses like they have now. We didn't have any two- or three-story houses like they have now. He couldn't tell his wife to go upstairs to the room, quote unquote. They had one level, one wide open space, so then they would screen it off. Now, out in the public, the only thing the Quran says is that the woman should throw her cover over her bosom. I must interrupt, certainly not like what we see today. We see abundant cleavage when we don't want to see it. Imam continues, obviously,
the custom was to have a piece over the piece on her body, that there was a bigger piece over her head and over her outer body, like a cloak or something. So the women would wear that. That must have been the standard back then. And the outer piece is so big that they can take this outer piece and throw it over their bosom so their breast won't be showing out in public. Again, just the opposite is what we see a proliferation of practice today. Continuing with Imam Muhammad's words, and I don't find any place where it talks about a veil. Where is the veil in the Quran? They would take cotton sacks and hang it on the line to block off the view so people couldn't see going on back in the house or in their quarters. But my folks, I remember them using old sheets and stuff, yes. And it's not permissible for the woman to speak to the guest except from behind hijab, that partition. Very interesting. I'm going to continue with the last question and answer in this section before we go on to February. And we're doing good timing because we're getting down to the end of our two-hour session today. Let me know, Brother Imam, if there are any hands raised or if you would like to make a comment about what we are reading.
I sure would. You know, I have experienced it, and I'm quite sure other men and women have experienced it. You mentioned the unscrupulous dress that women are participating in at this time.
Like it's a new style.
Mm-hmm. Right. That if your wife is wearing clothing that exposes her private parts and you have guests, the men see that also. Notice I said private. Private parts. Those areas are strictly for herself and her husband. And we wonder how come men be approaching other men's wives, because some men are not conscious, and they are moved by what they see. Mm-hmm. So your wife is a precious gift to you,
mm-hmm.
and she's not mm-hmm. meant for everyone. She is meant for you. So I have seen women, I have seen young men visiting their friends, and their mother walked through, and she may have on halter top, booty shorts, and this young man's friends are looking at his mother, in a lustful way.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to preserve the preciousness of the female, praise be to Allah, and mm-hmm. it's not for everyone to see. Mm-hmm. I'll stop right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and this is so true and impactful, the distinction that you're making, because the human being, Imam Muhammad has told us in our makeup, we can be given to the jinn influence or impact impulses of the jinn nature, that uncontrollable nature. And we know that Allah has said everybody has a jinn.
they have that capacity in their nature to impulsively respond to things that stimulate unbridled emotion and irrational behavior.
Be loud is back with us, Mahasi, whenever you or want me to open up his mic.
All right. And we are seeing the prevalence of this. Thank you, Brother Kareem. We're seeing the prevalence of this behavior and impulse rising today at younger and younger ages, at children who in earlier times weren't affected or stimulated by unwarranted sexual responses. It has a lot to do with the entertainment or the media influence. They have become unbridled in what they expose in the sharing of information, and it's stimulating appetites unchecked by knowledge. And this is causing the society to crumble at the base, essential levels that keeps it rising in a dignified way. Brother Bilal, please.
Just a moment, I should open up Bilal's mic at this time.
Okay.
Yes, I had stepped away for a moment. Okay, 504-488. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. This is something that wrote I'd like to share with everybody. To Allah, we are accountable. Mission not impossible. We are a new social group. So much pain we have been working through. Free thinkers in a hostile environment. A school of thought. We need to establish peace in a crazy and mad environment of corruption and sin.
Beautiful.
In a crazy, mad environment of corruption and sin. I remind these for our soul to be free. Can we forgive our enemy? Can we be a mercy to humanity? Think about it. How can we benefit? Follow our leader vision and protection in our association. Those who are serious about our mission, we are feeling the pain of others. Keep up prayer. Be your share. Allah is guiding and protecting us. Congregational prayer, mutual consultation, and fast will make us tough. We don't believe in luck. Sincerity leads to prosperity. Tell and show others the value of being scholarly. Never stop speaking. Allah will improve the way we are living. This is a big job. We can't stop. Pick up the pace. This voice will increase our faith. False worship, alcohol, and dope is most people home. Rent, don't get paid. Crackheads are walking dead. Prostitution is not the logical conclusion. Our Imam told us how to make it in the land of plenty. Remember, it won't be many. Our Islam is organic and rational. Focus on our potential. Live what we know. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
Praise be to Allah. Mohassan, we've got about 6 minutes of broadcast time left.
Okay.
Praise be to Allah.
I will honor your and our sense of ending on time. That urgency, because we do prize the time that people who are listening to us have allocated. We know you could have, as Sister Latifah often says, our CEO of AM360, and says that you could have been any number of places, chosen to be in any number of environments other than in the AM360 environment, but you chose to spend that time with us. And we respect and honor that. Alhamdulillah.
I'm sorry, we have another caller on the line that have not spoken. I want to give them a chance to share what Allah blessed them with. 301-598.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Debbie from Silver Spring, Maryland. This has been a really fabulous show, and I just want you all to know that.
We're happy that you have taken the time to listen to us, to join us on the program, Sister Debbie, you know, because you are a participant and a supporter of a structured senior community in Silver Spring, Maryland, that you assist and pay attention to honoring and understanding what their needs are. You talk to us on AM360 about this journey and this spirit in your life that has been enlarged in your community concern where you live in leisure world. So we thank you.
You've got 4 minutes left behind me.
Thank you.
And one last paragraph.
Okay, we'll do that. So, Sister Debbie, join us again. We're happy to hear from you. Okay?
Okay.
Inshallah, we can. Thank you. We appreciate you so much. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
One of our dearest interfaith persons who joins with us because she reads Quran. She is Christian by election. She reads Quran. She enjoins and engenders and loves her relationship with Allah as it is developing, whom she accepts as her creator. Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah for giving her that option and that privilege and that honor. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so last question, short answer. The question says, don't you think there's some people right now in this country and those overseas who know your role, and that's why they are like they are about your leadership? Good question. Imam W. Dean Muhammad answers, I believe there are few people, there are few that appreciate me and recognize me for what I am. But I believe most of them, their own minds, make them see me as a person that can really create real trouble, make a big thing trouble for them. And they see me as somebody who may introduce another order. I'll skip that word.
Yes, ma'am. Or
another order in Islam that will be powerful, and they won't be able to deal with it very easily. You're talking about people who are impacted by Islamophobia, mostly. That's my addition there. Okay.
He's speaking inside the Ummah, inside of the Ummah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there can be... There can be that Islamophobia inside of the Islamic community, mashallah.
A denial of a fresh way of thinking and another fresh view. Yes, ma'am.
That's true. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Imam Muhammad continues, but I think a few of them actually see me for what I'm worth and pray to Allah for my success. If they let their own people know about it, they will be rejected by their own people. And these that are dealing with us, they are pretending that they really like me and all that. The thing that they are working on the hardest is to break me from my, separate me from the people. I will end up right there, that Ramadan session. Those of you who have access the actual volumes and you have them in your possession, we encourage you to go back and reread yourself what we have shared today.
Oftentimes, Imam Muhammad has brought to our attention that there is additional value in a second reading of something. We read it the first time and we get the surface immediate meaning to us. But if we go back and reread, reintroduce those same concepts, it opens up a world of understanding, reality, and inshallah, wisdom for us. So Brother Kareem, I'm going to stop right there. And thank you for your help and your patience with us today, this evening. And we can't wait until next week comes and we'll start on the Ramadan session 1995 with Imam W.D. Muhammad in February 25th, 1995, took place in Athens, Georgia. And I believe it will be your turn to read. And the topics that you will bring to us are Jesus spoke in parables, topic two, a three-day journey, topic three, Zaytun and science, topic four, the lost sheep, topic five, Jesus Christ as personification of the Word, topic six, the origin of the cross in Christianity, topic seven, Mary as a sign of Muhammad before revelation. Topic eight, Moses told to take off your shoes, quote unquote. So alhamdulillah, I'll turn it over to you, inshallah. And we look forward to hearing and being with our listeners next Sunday. Same time, same station.
Inshallah, I want to invite the listening audience to tune into America Muslim 360 Monday evening at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an episode of MAPS. MAPS is the acronym for Muslim American Power of Five, with Sister Amatala Alaji Sabri, Brother Fennin Alameen, and the Honorable Cheryl Sadu, and guests for a discussion on our obligation as Muslims to transform our faith into action through proactive civic engagement, examining our role as Muslims in establishing a more just society. So we invite you to join us here on America Muslim 360 for the broadcast of MAPS, Muslim American Power of Five. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. I see the executive director for Community Wide Shura have raised their hand. And although we are late, I must recognize her hand. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum, Martha Nala Abdullah. Your phone is on mute.
Yes, you're right. And greetings of peace to everyone. I just want to remind everyone, this is the week of you or someone else you know want to share their love and thoughts about the Twin Servant of Peace, Thomas Abdus-Salam, the entire week. We're extending for the Founders Week. And tomorrow morning, Imam, at 8 a.m., is William Kareem for the social upload social life at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Martha. Thank you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. So next week we want to commemorate the founders, that's plural, of American Muslim 360 and the community-wide Shura conference. That is our beloved Imam Thomas Abdus-Salam and his wonderful wife, Dr. Aisha Kareem. They are the founders.
I mean.
Praise be to Allah. Now, guess what, Martha? Someone has pressed one on their phone. You know, we asked you during the broadcast, yes, I'm getting on you, to press one on your phone. Please don't wait until we're signing off and then raise your hand and expect us to recognize it. Let's respect the process. Let's respect each other and the process. I'm opening up 916-747. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, that sounds like our CEO emeritus. Do I have that right, Dr. Aisha Kareem?
Yes, assalamu alaikum. I'm so sorry. I'm on somebody else's phone, and I've been pushing. I've heard all the program, and I've been pushing one and green and all of that, and I so apologize. But just very quickly, I want to say to you all, to you both, great program, Sister Mahassan, cannot emphasize enough this the importance of our females being more modest so that we can retain our humanity.
Yeah.
Without that, you know, the human doesn't have much value. As
yeah.
we see right now, it's really slipping away, our value, and the female
yeah.
is taking us right on out. So thank you so much for that. And I also wanted to add, I missed in presenting maybe for yesterday and this morning, a very key person in the history of American Muslim 360 CWSC, and that was Sister Irma Reed.
Yes.
Sister Irma, the one yes. who established all of the online Jumas between she
yes.
and my daughter Dawn, but she found the presenter. She brought them in every Friday without fail. And
yeah.
so she started that and she kept it up. So I just wanted to make sure I acknowledged her. Thank you so much. And again, I apologize, but I was on. So,
no,
but I'm doing, thank you all so much. And
one of the things that I was going to
say, thank you.
Thank you, Imam Kareem, was we're prepared to be very forgiving because we know that sometimes many of us are encountering technical difficulties that we have no control over, but we're also sensitive
you
about
know,
being to include
you know,
whomever,
yes,
even
you
in
know,
a
system. As
yes.
manager
so,
of the radio station, I am
yes.
to assess and give a quality assurance report to the CEO. And one of the questions asked is, did the broadcast start on time and did it end on time?
How
so they're also respectful to those that are called in. So I'm very conscious of my obligation. I don't take this lightly, and I do not mean any harm to anyone. When I mention it is important that we close on time, these are our policies that I didn't write, but they were written for us, and I'm obligated to hold us to
right.
them.
No, 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 you're absolutely right. You just didn't identify. I mean, I don't have my phone.
Yeah,
I'm on somebody else, so you know my account.
You can press one, and it will not respond. I have experienced that myself. I sure have. Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you all so very much. Thank you.
All right. We look forward to everyone's
week.
Yes, tomorrow we want everybody, if they would, all week long, to share with us your reflections on the community-wide Shura Conference, American Muslim 360, and its founders, Brother Thomas Abdul Salam and his lovely wife, Dr. Aisha Kareem. Praise be to Allah. This is a blessing that Allah has blessed us
with. You all.
Through them, Allah utilized them as a tool for what we are experiencing now. We are grateful to Allah for Allah sharing them with us. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Allah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we came to you with the beginnings of peace. in the Quranic Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, remain regardful of Almighty God, our Allah, and may we keep up our prayers and remain forever thankful. Allah asks the whole of humanity out of the 55th surah of the Quran, entitled Rahman, or Mercy. Allah asks, Fabi Ahiyallah Irabikuma to Kadivan. Which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? May we remain forever grateful and forever thankful and bring out the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We got to be.
Early in the morning, sail and prayer. Seven's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls can keep. Grab my keys. Grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck. Get off to work I go. But I gotta be alright.
Gotta be alright.
The best that I can. Try and make a difference. Cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
Gotta be grateful for my life. And all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine. Stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and I think my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright. You gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Cubs. And I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere. And our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their families. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try and make a difference
Any way they can, they've got to be strong.
Got to be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night and friends that last forever and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.